What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another episode of Trigger. This is Trigger number 513 here on Wednesday, May 1st. Let's get started. Fortunately, it's going to be a little shorter episode today. Mr. Vespa here has a cold, and if he gets me sick, I'll murder him.
It's not a cold.
It sounds like a cold.
It's probably a cold.
Yeah. Let's talk about the terrorists on our campuses across the country, because that's a big story right now. Last night...
those peaceful protests?
Yes.
You're talking about the peaceful protests that...
Just like 2020.
Everyone has the right to speak and...
Just like 2020. Columbia was broken up last night. NYPD raided the campus. Same thing happened at City College of New York, where in a nice scene, the NYPD restored the American flag to the top of the flagpole, where a terrorist flag had been flying for days. You have this situation now where then later on last night at UCLA, basically a full riot broke out.
Yeah. And there are no cops.
No cops
for
to
like,
be found.
In the initial stages, no cops.
Well, for hours. Hours. I was watching it.
Yeah.
And both sides were basically skirmishing with each other, fighting.
Hurling projectiles.
Yeah.
The campus security was told to stand down.
Yeah.
To allow this...
And apparently the cops wanted to step in, and then the UCLA chancellors told them to stand down.
Oh, my God.
From what I've been reading. Eventually...
guy that you follow, was it Steve Luckner?
Yeah.
Was like, I don't care where you fall on, he's like, on this issue, one thing is clear. The UCLA administration is a disaster with this.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Well, you know...
Someone's going to get killed.
Someone
could have gotten killed last night.
It was a miracle that nobody got killed last night. I was shocked.
Yeah.
These terrorists think they could do whatever they want. And this comes on the heels of at UCLA earlier in the day yesterday. Basically, these terrorists kidnapped a Jewish student and held him captive for an hour. There's been incidents of those terrorists at UCLA attempting to beat Jewish students.
Yep. Is that the one where the guy's trying to flee out of the bushes?
Yeah.
Get him. Yeah.
And so last night you had a situation where, from what I've read, it was actually more of a pro-America contingent that decided to take matters into their own hands and attempt to dismantle this encampment and then ended up fighting, which, you know, it's no surprise. You're gonna get backlash. You can't just do this shit in America and expect that people are going to stand by indefinitely and do nothing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, of course, Biden, nowhere to be found, nothing to be said. While the Columbia raid was happening last night, President Trump called in to Fox News, and he rightfully said, where's President Biden?
Yeah.
Nowhere to be found. Sleepy Joe sleeping at this hour. And
He needs those anti-Semites to vote for him in November.
Well, not only that, but he basically is in a lose-lose situation with this.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, he has to decide whose side he's going to be on here, and we know that he's going to side with the terrorists.
He's trying to bring them here.
Well, yeah. So that's that's the next step in this disgusting storyline that we're in. Yesterday reported that President Biden is strongly considering, quote, flying in Palestinian refugees and allowing them to settle in the United States and on a pathway to citizenship.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just ridiculous.
Palestinians, 68% of which support Hamas?
Yeah, of course.
And 70% of which viewed the October 7 attacks favorably. Those people, we're going to bring them here.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, because what we need is to import more terrorists. I said to one of my buddies last night, I said, well, you know, he could just drop him off in Mexico and have him waltz across the open border. That'd probably be better PR for him. But, you know, we have terrorists entering the country all over the place at this point. We have the FBI warning of major red flags of terrorist acts potentially in the coming months. You have this United States civil unrest occurring on all these college campuses. What better time?
Right.
To you know, stage an attack and... I think that that's probably pretty imminent at this point. I'm surprised that things didn't get more violent last night at Columbia and these other universities. These next 2 weeks are going to be pretty crazy, I feel like, at a lot of these college campuses. you know, UCLA, what happened last night, they still are allowing this in camp and to continue.
Yeah, I know.
What fucking bizarre world are we living in? We have at UNC yesterday.
Even though it was declared illegal.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
At UNC yesterday, the Palestinian terrorists attempted once to try to take down the American flag, the large American flag from the flagpole. They failed that first attempt because of a group of fraternity brothers who stepped in to stop the madness happening in front of them, defending the American flag from these terrorists. And rightfully so, they're being praised in the media. Someone actually started, I thought this was hilarious, someone started a GoFundMe for them to throw them a massive party.
Nice.
Over $40,000 at this point.
Oh, fantastic.
So they're going to have quite a party. But, you know, you're seeing a significant divide developing, even in younger generations, between these woke women and woke leftists versus males in general, traditional males, America, pro-America people, who are sick and tired of this shit happening in the country.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a significant backlash. And if, you know, like I just said last week on the episode, talking about how what these leftists really want is violent revolution.
Yeah.
You see the seeds being planted for this. Where do you think the money's coming from for all this?
Well, George Soros.
Yep. CARE, the fucking terrorists that they are, they're planting the seeds for what's going to happen the rest of the year. And if you think that this is as bad as it's going to get, I got another thing coming for you. It's going to get way, way worse.
I think the height's going to probably be the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, the Chicago DNC is going to be an absolute disaster. And I mean,
Shots fired.
I'm fine with that. Let them eat their own. And you see Democrats freaking out about this.
Oh, yes.
You know, we were watching CNN last night. And they were like, oh, my God, the Democrat Party is imploding upon itself over this.
Yeah. They don't know what to do.
It's going to continue. It's only going to get worse. And, you know, I will say, you know, if these normal people are going to step up and stand and fight for America, then maybe that's what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't keep letting this happen in our country with no consequence whatsoever to the terrorist supporters and the leftist, you know, agitators and violent people just being able to run freely and do whatever the fuck they want. You know, it's going to be, it's unfortunately going to be a time of significant civil unrest in this country for the coming period and time to come because you have the election looming. And like I said, no matter what happens with that, there's going to be issues.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the great news that we've got happening here. Let's take a look overseas because how are things going overseas?
Fantastic. What are you talking about? It's the greatest they've ever been.
That's what I've been told. Of course, remember we talked about the Gaza pier that Joe Biden is building?
Yeah. Yeah, it got attacked.
Well, yeah, got attacked and it's going to continue to get attacked. No shock there. Also, the cost estimate has nearly doubled. And so you're bringing all this, quote, humanitarian aid in. You know where that's going to go.
Hamas.
Straight to Hamas.
Hamas.
I mean, this is insanity. I don't understand how the people running our government and military think that any of this is a good idea. And they're going to flatten Rafah.
Oh, yeah.
Israel happening. Is going to flatten Rafah. They apparently sent a contingent of negotiators today to discuss one final attempt at a ceasefire, which I'm sure is going to fail. And then Israel's going to go in, and that's going to inflame things even more.
Yes.
And you know what? Fuck them.
Yeah.
They should flatten that whole goddamn shithole to the ground.
I mean, it's not like Israel hasn't offered ceasefire agreements past like months.
Hamas has turned them down.
Every single one of them.
Hamas has turned them down.
Every single
and
one.
And you know why? Because all the hostages are dead.
Yeah, they are.
They're all dead.
Yeah.
There may be a couple dozen left, but overall, they're gone.
They're gone.
And it's unfortunate, but like...
Five of them are Americans.
Yeah. It's what we've been saying since day one. Like, you think these terrorists are gonna keep these people alive? Like, what world are we living in here? These people need to start working in reality. And it's really disappointing that we have a president right now, and as Trump said last night, Biden is not on Israel's side.
No.
And I think you're gonna see here him continue to try to walk this fine line, but Americans aren't buying it.
Yeah.
They're just not. And I think, what is it, a new poll came out, 73% of Americans are on Israel's side in this fight, yeah. Which as far as
it'll public always, opinion it'll poll. It'll always be a half-assed type of thing in terms of he'll bash Israel but won't cut off funding, you know?
Yeah.
He'll accuse them of human rights violations.
Yeah.
But won't cut off aid per the Leahy laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's stuff like that.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean,
not that the kids that he's trying to appease even know about this or care.
Yeah.
Because they're too busy storming buildings and fighting cops.
But well, what's interesting he's is
planting the seeds to be like, look, I've been tough on Israel later down the road, and it's just not going to work.
What's interesting in the aftermath of last night with the raiding of Colombia and all this and that, saw a lot of Democrats saying, I was going to vote for Joe Biden, but this is a step too far for me. And so I think that his numbers are going to tank even more, and we're going to get to his already horrible numbers later in the show.
Do people, like, not realize that – I mean, forget the – I know you mentioned the Jewish kid, but that they – those Colombia kids took the night custodians hostage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, do they not understand, like, that's what – like, this is not – this is now, like – this is now these are crimes.
Oh, Palestinian terrorists taking hostages.
Yeah. Who would have seen that? Right. Yeah. Is that very fitting? Yeah. I know, really seriously. And you know, it's just like you know, Sherrod Brown, I think, kind of gave like a half-assed answer of like, I support people's right to, you know, voice their opinion or something, right to protest.
Yep.
That's not we're beyond that now. People got to go to jail.
Yep.
They took people hostage.
Yeah.
And well, you know, no one wants to say anything.
Well, and not only that, they're blockading parts of campus, allowing anti-Jewish students through the checkpoints.
Oh, yeah. We got swastikas at USC.
Oh, yeah.
Swastikas.
Well, you know, I tweeted last night, why don't they just put swastika armbands on at this point? Exactly. Because that's basically what's going on.
Oh, here. Yeah, they're Nazis with different costumes.
You know, the left loves to call us Nazis, but at the end of the day, it's really just projection because that's what they're doing. That's their people. And so it'd be interesting to see because, of course, there is a pro-Israel and, you know, pro-protecting Jewish people in general contingent of the left, right?
Oh, yeah.
But so far, they've been relatively silent, especially people like Chuck Schumer. I mean, where the fuck is he? This is his state.
Yeah.
He hasn't said a word about this.
He's one of the most vocal Israeli supporters on the Democratic side.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous.
But they've been silent. And so, you know, those voters, right? Those voters who have traditionally been Democrats, a lot of Jews, right? Yeah. Will they then say, "No, I'm not going to vote for this party that doesn't believe in my right to exist."
Yeah.
You know? I mean, these are the things they're chanting. We were watching CNN last night, and they have this terrorist whore on who says that, oh, no, you can't paint these protests with a broad brush and say that they're all, you know, anti-Israel and anti-Jewish and all this and that. Another don't believe your lying eyes.
Yeah, she was saying it's mostly seated in anti-war and anti-Netanyahu activism.
Which is fucking bullshit.
I'm like, lady,
it's fucking
what
bullshit.
Are you talking about?
Listen to what they are saying. These terrorists are chanting,
"Long live the Intifada!"
Yep.
"River to the sea!"
Yep.
Clapping about, you know, Israel not being able to exist if the United States weren't around.
Oh,
which is the other tier of this, which is anti-Americanism.
Going full Tehran, chanting "Death to America!"
Yep.
"Death to Israel!" Ripping U.S. flags down, burning them, stomping them. These people hate America, they hate Israel, they hate Jews, they hate everything about our way of life.
But they love DoorDash, because when those students took over Hamilton Hall in Columbia, they didn't have any food.
Oh yeah, they wanted humanitarian aid. That was,
yeah,
that was
that?
Particularly funny. Yeah. Yeah. All right, what else do we got here? Foreign policy on the Ukraine front. Apparently, Zelensky and Biden are working on a deal that would fund Ukraine with U.S. taxpayer dollars for the next 10 years.
Oh, God.
10 years. We have our own fucking problems, our own economy, a nation to worry about, and we're worrying about Ukraine and potentially, you know, a long-winded war and needing to rebuild it.
Look, I know
this our own country's in fucking tatters.
I know this was a bitch of a problem, but Speaker Johnson allowing that Ukraine aid package to pass, this is what it opened it up to.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
You know, they see a way.
Now, I don't think he'll make that same mistake again.
They see a crease, they're going to hit the crease, and now they're going to do a 10-year agreement now?
Yeah, I know.
In a war that they're probably going to lose now.
Oh, the war is going to lose regardless. Been saying it since day one. They're never getting that land back. It's just, it is what it is. But Speaker Mike Johnson bailed out by the Democrats.
Yeah.
Because MTG's motion to vacate is now dead in the water because the Democrats said, you know, we will save Speaker Johnson because he did what we wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly what we said was going
to
happen.
I mean, she's going to try to push it next week, but it's still dead. It's dead. It's dead. No, it's dead. All the Democrats are going to be like, no, we're going to save Johnson. So what's the point?
Not to mention at this point, regardless of how much of a piece of shit he is.
It's just not good.
Removing him is not the smart political move at this point. It all, you know, all that matters, and you're seeing, you know, smart Republicans all over the place saying this, all that matters is we change the math in November. We win a sweeping victory, and we get a real conservative in the speakership. We get the control of the Senate, and we, of course, get President Trump back in the White House. That is the entire game at this point.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, it doesn't matter who the speaker is. At that point, it would probably be Hakeem Jeffries, and then we're really fucked.
Ukraine aid forever.
Well, yeah. Well, and also a list of terrible things to destroy the country from within.
That too.
But that's, you know, that is the entire ballgame. The election is essentially 6 months or so from today.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really long 6 months, but we have to win. I mean, it really, you know, we say this every election, I feel like. It's the most important election ever. It's a tired refrain, you know, it's the Flight 93 election. But this really is it. The country cannot withstand four more years of this.
Yeah.
It just can't. We will be economically ruined. We will be societally ruined. Look at what's happening on college campuses. That will be exported en masse to every aspect of life.
Yeah.
You're seeing you know, backlash against it now. But, you know, if we don't win, it's game over.
Well, we're going to the camps.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's what they want. It's what they want. And you look at what they say. Listen to what they are saying, right?
Yeah.
They don't believe in two opinions, right? And there was actually a professor that was on last night on TV, and I thought he said something particularly prescient about these college campuses. These kids are being indoctrinated, and this was on CNN, and the host, of course, quickly moved to cut them off. These kids are being indoctrinated to believe that there are never two sides to a debate. It's, if you do not agree 100% with my opinion, you are a threat and need to be eliminated.
Yeah.
And that's the total opposite of what America was built on. And you're going to have that getting worse and worse and worse because of our education system. And it's going to be the end of the country, really.
Yeah.
I mean, look, these people are dragging down American flags from flagpoles and replacing it with terrorist flags.
Yeah.
Do you ever think – we haven't seen that in recent times. What if this happened after 9/11? What if Muslims after 9/11 built encampments and started flying Taliban flags over college campuses?
God.
Like – you know, we're people say unprecedented all the time, but this truly is unprecedented, right? Of course, there's been unrest at college campuses before, civil rights movement, Vietnam War, you know, you can go down the long list. Those have been internal problems,
and
right?
They never aimed to shut down campuses.
You know, I mean, they've occupied buildings and stuff before, but I mean, you're flying a foreign terrorist flag willingly over United States land.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself is chilling, and that is one of the lesser things that's been happening here. I mean, this threat to America from within has to be crushed. And again, the only solution to that is President Trump coming back.
Yeah.
And I really do think that you're going to see – a groundswell of support for President Trump here simply because remember how he was the crazy one, right?
Oh, yeah.
The chaos president, yeah. They called him.
Everything's happened under Biden.
He's normal now. Yeah. Right, and that's the really interesting kind of switch that we've had happen here, is Trump is now the restoration of normalcy and peace and prosperity, and so I do think you're going to see, especially Trump's numbers with independents skyrocket because of all this stuff. You're going to see Biden's numbers plummet with Democrats because of it. And we're going to get to the CNN poll here in a little bit, but if CNN's putting these kinds of numbers out for Biden, he's in some serious, serious trouble. All right, last few things before we get into the rest of the election talk. Last week was a commie circle jerk for the Democrats. They released new regulations on things like minimum wage for full-time exempt status, which is outrageous. You have a total crushing of non-compete clauses in employer contracts, which not sure how they think they have the power to do that. You have things like they're essentially trying to like nationalize backdoor the airlines through forcing them to do refunds over things that are potentially out of their control. But then you also had the restoration of net neutrality.
Yes,
that was one that flew under the scene.
That flew well under the radar, though.
It's essentially a government takeover of the internet, of course. Yeah. And the only way to get rid of that is obviously to get Trump back in because he crushed it once and he'll do it again. But then you get to the climate change regulations. Last Thursday, Joe Biden announced new, air quote, climate change regulations put in place through the EPA that will shut down a vast majority of coal-powered power plants across the country. And this, in coordination with the rest of his climate change propaganda agenda,
great,
will essentially triple or quadruple energy costs across the United States. And potentially make it so that we don't even have enough energy at all to operate our electrical grid, which, by the way, they want to plug all those mandated EVs into the electric vehicles. This guy,
he's just a bad. It's just bad. It's just all around bad.
Well, I was talking this past weekend when I was with my buddy in Vegas. I was like, is this what people felt like under Jimmy Carter? Or is this, like, worse? I don't, like, because we weren't alive, obviously. Yeah. I think he's worse than Carter at this point. I mean, Joe Biden definitely has the opportunity to go down as the worst president in U.S. history, at least in modern history.
I think my dad used to mention this, when he applied for a home loan back in the Carter era. I mean, it was bad. The interest rates, I mean, we all complain about, low double digits. I mean, it was, like, way the fuck up there.
Yeah.
So, which is why he always, people say, it's been worse. Well, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, remember, they had to do that to break the second cycle of inflation, which is kind of what we're experiencing now, tied with bad GDP, which came out last week.
Yeah.
We are now officially in what's referred to as stagflation, which we have been for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just the numbers are, here's the thing. Those numbers are doctored.
Yeah.
And so if they can only doctor them up to that, just think of how bad it really is.
Yeah. It's like CNN polls. Just add 8 to 12.
Well, we go down the list every single time here of all these economic indicators that are pointing towards total disaster. And
well, remember they were touting the jobs the jobs numbers for 2 months, 3 months, and then the GDP report recently was trash. The inflation report was trash. So
yep,
I mean, this is what happens when you have you're dealing with all this Chinese math. The minimum wage thing. You're already seeing what some businesses are doing. They're just getting rid of the worker. They're having robots and automated systems.
Oh, yeah. Well, who could
have... Hours are being cut. I mean, the Seattle restaurant scene, and this is like back in Trump's day.
Yeah.
2017, 2018. Remember Seattle tried was it $15?
Who could have seen this coming?
Yeah, it destroyed the restaurant scene there.
You know that raising the minimum wage also causes major inflation.
Yeah, too.
This new salary rule will do the same thing. And not only that, they're like, oh, well, you know, this could result in $400 billion of increased wages paid out. Well, that's going to make companies even less profitable than they are now. Yeah. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to cut staff is what they're going to do.
Cut that overhead.
Yep. And this on the heels of Joe Biden saying that he wants to raise taxes. He wants to raise the corporate tax. He wants to raise individual taxes. He wants to raise the capital gains tax. I mean, this it's just insanity.
Yeah.
It's just straight up insanity. It's
tax and spend liberalism. We all know this. And like you said, they'll cut staff, and for the staff, like for those in the restaurant business and whatnot who are lucky to remain, they'll have their hours capped. Mm-hmm. So in the long run, they're actually making less money.
Well, of course, yeah. Of course.
So it's just, you know, I think this experiment has failed. But, you know, we'll see what, you know, PG County across the river, you know, passed it, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the final phase going to go into effect next year or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
They even said it was going to cost them 50,000 jobs, but they passed it anyway because feelings.
Yeah,
but,
you know, smart. It's Democrats for you.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about some 2024 stuff here. So Trump is in the middle of his trial, okay? He was held in contempt of court yesterday for violating the gag order 9 times. The gag order, which is just fucking insane anyway. Fined Trump $9,000 for repeatedly violating the order, and was forced to delete several social media posts that essentially proved not only his innocence, but the rigging of the jury and the impartiality of the judge. That trial will continue, and we look to probably get a conclusion on that sometime in mid-May, I think, is the essentially estimated timeline on that.
He's screwed.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're going to find him guilty, but the question is, here's the thing. Polls have come out on this. 70% of Americans think that these charges are bogus.
That's good.
And if they find him guilty, I actually think that might help his numbers. You know, the question is, what are they going to try to sentence him with? I don't see it being jail. I just don't think that that's going to be a reasonable thing that happens. They might try. They certainly might try. The judge yesterday did threaten Trump that if he violates the gag order more, he might face incarceration consequences.
Like my cousin Vinny?
Which is just like insane. You know, it's insane that all these people that could just go out there and trash him with bullshit, but he's not allowed to say a single thing. He's not allowed to defend himself. It's just the antithesis of what the American justice system is supposed to be, but of course, we know double standards there.
Yeah. Well, we're not supposed to have political trials either.
Remember? Well,
You know, because there's no way to get a fucking impartial jury with that. But hey, you know, here we are, right?
Yeah. And SCOTUS last week did hear the immunity case.
Yeah.
And it looks like...
That's a mixed bag, apparently. But, you know, you can't really go off that.
We're just going to have to see what happens.
Because they said the exact same fucking thing about Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And look what fucking happened.
Yeah. Well, it does sound to me like the conservative justices do agree that there needs to be some limitations placed on the trial, the Jack Smith trials.
That's good.
And if that happens, it's almost a guarantee that the trials will not happen before the election in November. So they actually questioned his appointment as well, which I found very interesting.
Wow.
So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. You know, we got a lot of big Supreme Court cases looming here over the next 2 months that are actually also going to inflame probably the whole liberal leftist revolution even more. you know, you have the Trump cases. You have affirmative action that's going to be coming.
Again? We're doing this shit again?
Yeah. Yep. So let's see. We got President Trump and Ron DeSantis meeting in Miami. That's interesting. DeSantis now expected to... become a full, essentially, surrogate of Trump and raise money and campaign on his behalf.
He'd probably just make him the chair of his Florida campaign.
Well, there was, this is the unity that we need.
Yeah.
It's very disappointing to me to see online, you know.
Well, it's still nasty on there.
Yeah, I'd say a good chunk of DeSantis people have fallen in line as should be with falling behind the nominee of the party.
Yeah.
But there is this contingent that's reminiscent of the Never Trumpers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to vote for him, vote for RFK. Like, get the fuck out of here. Grow up. This, we're talking about the life or death of our country at this point. And your feelings are hurt and you're so fucking butthurt that you can't just fall in line. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. We did it in 2016. And yeah, of course, there was the Never Trump contingent that held out. But like...
But they all became Democrats.
Right. You know? Right.
Or like, they were already on their way of becoming
like, Democrats. Like, are you going to become Democrats? Yeah, like, no. You know, there's and there's a couple people in particular.
Stop, stop being 49ers fans and complaining about shit. About losses. Yeah, stop being that. Because it was, listen, it's not like it's not like there was a lack of trying.
Right.
You know, there was an attempt. There was something of a field, which I was shocked. I thought this thing was ever going to be more than like, you know, four or five people.
Yeah.
It turned out to be more than that. I mean, no one got, you know, most didn't even break, you know, 4 or 5%.
Mm-hmm.
But there was selection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over.
Yeah. Well, you know, exactly.
Yeah. And then there's people who don't know how to quit, like Nikki Haley, who just, you know, self-flagellated herself for unnecessarily for weeks on end to, I don't know, drive home a point that, you know, Democrat votes matter.
Well, you know.
Or something. I don't know.
We had the primaries.
Yeah.
The primaries are over. We have the nominee. The people voted and the people want Trump.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Let's see what else we got. The debates. So we have some debate news here. So Trump challenged Joe Biden for a presidential debate before the scheduled debates later in the cycle. However, it appears that the scheduled debates will stand as followed, and they are September 16th, October 1st, and October 9th, with a vice presidential debate being held on September 25th. Now, it seems to me that Biden's going to be backed into a corner here and will have to debate.
I don't think there'll be three.
I don't know.
Especially the one a week apart. He will be gassed after one.
We'll see. It's going to be very interesting.
Would you rather have one big showdown? Like 1980?
Potentially. I mean, that might be what it comes down to.
Yeah.
But Biden has said he agrees to these debates. So
yeah, but then his staff has to correct him. We all see.
Well, sure. And when we get to our gaffe of the day,
I mean, that is a lot of work in a short period of time, and you know how he gets.
Yeah, but also if these poll numbers are the same by then, Biden's gonna have no choice.
Yeah,
than to try to make up the ground.
Inject him,
Oh, they will drug him the fuck up. Yeah.
Because there's no way.
I mean, you saw the State of the Union.
Oof.
You know, I mean, they don't even let him walk alone to the helicopter now.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah.
They have aides walk with him as guides.
I mean, in reality, he probably should be in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean.
But you can't have that on tape.
They don't do the normal steps for Air Force One anymore.
Yeah.
It's all loaded on the lower
level. Oh, yeah, the belly. Yeah, the belly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's crazy to me that they think that this dementia-ridden fucking vegetable.
What happens if he falls? President.
Huh?
What happens if he has like a Bob Dole 96 fall?
Well, we'll see.
I mean, and I'm saying, you know.
I mean, he's falling like 20 times.
Listen, a fall like that Bob Dole took in 96, that's going to break a hip.
Yeah.
Bob Dole, I think, was also much younger than Joe Biden was when he ran.
He's fallen like 20 times already.
Yeah.
So, and you know, now he wears those old people's shoes.
Yeah. But those old people's shoes, listen, nothing's perfect. You know, at that age, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What if that happens?
Yep.
And then he's in a wheelchair for the rest of the election.
Well, then he's cooked for sure. That's a given. That's a be cooked. All right, Trump VP talk is heating up. We had some two big stories over the weekend. First was there's a lot of chatter about, well, maybe that meeting with DeSantis was to talk about him potentially becoming VP. I think that would be a strong ticket. There is a number of impediments to that. Primarily, the first being the Constitution. Because the Electoral College, you can't have a president and VP from the same state.
Yeah.
It's exactly why Dick Cheney became a Wyoming resident from Texas in the lead up to the 2000 election initially. There's not much wiggle room there because DeSantis can't change his residency as governor, okay? And he's not going to resign the governorship to run for VP.
No.
And also, Trump's not going to change his residency because he's got really nowhere else to go. He's not going to go back to New York because that has major tax problems, potential legal problems for him. And there's not really any other income tax-free states. I mean, I just don't see that happening.
Delaware.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'd as much as I'd love to see that happen, I think it'd be great for the future and lining up, you know, someone to take on the mantle of leadership, especially against the field of other VP candidates who are extraordinarily weak, in my opinion. I just don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. The second story was Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem, a former front runner for the VP nod, now that we know she killed her dog.
Allegedly.
Well, no, not allegedly. Here's the thing. What she did is sometimes the normal in certain parts of the country. But you don't then brag about it in your fucking book, you retard.
Yeah, I know.
What a moron. Nobody likes dog killers. I mean, that's just so stupid. Like, nobody reading that on her team was like, hey, we should probably just leave this part out of the book, you know? Yeah. And so she got dragged over the weekend. I don't see. And this was already on the heels of her sexual problems with Corey Lewandowski.
Her sexual problems.
Well, no, really. I mean, that was a big problem. And it was, actually. It looked like they were ready to get over that, you know, to potentially name her. And, you know,
then she killed the dog.
Yeah, she killed 14-month-old dog, Cricket. Yeah,
Cricket.
And then bragged about it in a book.
Yeah.
Bad judgment.
Apparently Cricket was absolute shit at pheasant hunting, so.
Well, I mean, I'm sure.
And then it got out like Cujo and it killed a bunch of chickens, their friend's chickens, and it was just a shit show.
Listen.
So, you know what?
I understand.
Out comes the gun.
And that does have to happen, certainly, but you don't put it in a book and brag about it. Yeah, it's like
she could have used euphemisms like we took Cricket to the farm.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's just not, it seems dumb.
I whipped out my big ass gun and blew his fucking head off.
Yeah, which is essentially what she wrote. Yeah. And so yeah, the VP field is certainly an interesting one.
Tulsi Gabbard had. I see her name being dredged up again.
I don't think.
I think that would be a major mistake.
I think so too.
I mean, if that's the case, then why not pick RFK Jr.?
Well,
I mean, it's not going to happen, but you know what I mean.
She gets a lot of accolades because she's willing to speak against the modern day Democrats, which I totally, you know, applaud. However, she's not a conservative.
No, she's a hardcore lib. In fact, she's actually more than that. I think she's pretty
progressive, yeah.
Yeah, she's a leftist who isn't PC and is pro-free speech, which is fine. Yeah. That's great, but like...
She
wants to take away the guns.
Who we should make our VP. And, you know, you say what you will about Trump. He's very vigorous for his age.
Yeah.
But he is old, too.
He is.
Anything can happen anytime. Remember, the VP is a heartbeat away from the presidency.
That's right. Just have a pulse.
You know, anything can happen. Look at Reagan. I mean, like... You know, you have to have someone in that job that you can trust and that we can trust as conservatives to take over the country. And not only that, I think it's important because Trump's only going to be one term, you know, guy here.
Well, for now.
Unless we go full Nick Offerman in Civil War and go for a third term, which, you know, maybe at this point might be warranted. Right, but,
exactly.
You know, it's that's the game. Right.
Do you think he'll pick his family member? A family member? Like Jared Kushner?
No, I don't think that would look good. No.
It wouldn't look good, but no. Like I could totally... It would not shock me if you would like at least think about it.
I think that the front runner as of right now is probably Tim Scott.
Well, he was milking that camera during the Super Tuesday.
Sure. Which is fine. I'm not the hugest Tim Scott guy. He's a pretty decent conservative. Not great, not terrible. He would definitely help with the demographics of the ticket. Shaving a few percentages off the black vote really is key to this election. But who knows? I mean, he picked Mike Pence, and Mike Pence was nowhere on the radar. Remember?
Yeah.
So he could go totally obscure.
I heard Doug Burgum.
I did hear that.
I heard Doug Burgum.
I'd like Doug Burgum. Yeah. I think he's a rock solid conservative. Yeah. I think he'd make a great president if he actually had to come down to it.
Yeah.
you know, he's not the...
Unfortunately, he doesn't have, like, a national constituency. You know, like, no one knew who he was until he ran for president.
Sure, you know? Sure, but...
Great ideas! I mean, honestly, really good ideas.
But if you're going for a safer pick like that, I'm not sure that that necessarily matters.
Yeah.
Nobody knew who Mike Pence was either. Remember?
Yeah, a little, yeah. Yeah, because the Tea Party... That tide had
passed. It was a congressman from Indiana. Yeah, that
tide had passed.
And that was basically
it. And the Tea Party movement was somewhat dead.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
At least with Burgum, you have a rock-solid conservative, a governor with executive experience. Yeah.
And not just that, he's also a member of a successful businessman.
Yeah, which is definitely a selling point
for
Trump.
Very successful businessman.
Yeah. I wouldn't be upset with that pick.
No, I wouldn't either. Sure. I wouldn't either.
He's also non-controversial. You know, he's not going to cause issues.
No, he's not.
So we'll see.
Well, we pray. You never know what those background checks dig up.
Sure, sure. And they're definitely in the advanced vetting process of several people at this point. I think that they probably will go for an announcement sometime around July 4th, if I had to guess.
No one's traveling, though.
In the lead up to July
4th. Oh, lead up. Okay, yeah.
It might also be right after July 4th. Because remember, the convention is in mid-July.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
they could also use it as a way to build major buzz before the convention.
He announces it at the convention.
Because you remember the Sarah Palin pick. I mean, it was kind of similar to that. Yeah. So, we'll see.
Well, hopefully it's not as shambolic.
Well,
that was remember, we picked her because it was like.
But also at the end of the day, remember, John McCain sucked.
Yeah, that's true.
Terrible candidate, no charisma whatsoever. You know, we were never going to win that election because of the economy. And so that was a we're drowning pick.
Yeah.
This might be more of a this person takes a major backseat no matter what. You know, Trump's the star, right? It's always going to be. The Trump show, Trump everything.
Who can be the good loyal soldier and the attack dog if need be?
Exactly.
Who isn't retarded like Kamala.
Correct.
You know?
Correct.
So, because, Kamala's tasked with being that, but she can't do it. You know, she's...
Oh, well, and I would... Doug Burgum, very intelligent, very well spoken.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a debate between those two. I mean, he would just pick her apart at the seams.
And not be, like, overly aggressive or shoved in her face.
Correct.
He'll just be...
He's soft-spoken.
Concise. Mm-hmm. Articulate and just lay out the facts, and then he'll just turn over the podium to her, and she will be a wreck.
He's got a little bit of that far western style to him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I think actually that'd be a fine pick, but
we
will see. We certainly going to be news when it happens. All right, so let's hit this poll because this new poll came out over the weekend, and CNN dropped this on Sunday morning. It had very bad news for the liberals in it, and they were freaking out.
They dropped it Sunday morning. What, 5 a.m.?
Well, in anticipation, for their Sunday shows.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. You know how they
do. This is on the heels of an NBC poll, equally usually as liberal, that showed terrible news for Joe Biden, which we talked about last week. But here's the top lines of this. New CNN poll, Trump leads nationally, head-to-head, remember, head-to-head, Trump Biden by 6, Trump 49, Biden 43.
Wow.
This is popular vote, okay? Then if you dig in even further, okay, and go, okay, well, let's put RFK in the calculation and the other shithole candidates, Cornel West and Jill Stein, which is hilarious. Hilarious that they're actually running. That actually could be key, by the way. Trump 42, Biden 33, RFK 16, West 4, Stein 3, that's Trump plus 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you were worried about the RFK peeling off from Trump voters. I think he peels off more from Dems.
It's certainly possible.
I think he peels
certainly
off more possible. From Dems.
But I also think that is going to vary by state. So, and he's only on a certain number of states, right?
Key states, though.
So, well, but, you know, so also into this calculation here, this is a national poll. I'm not sure if they qualified RFK's numbers just for the states that he's listed in or any of that stuff. But the poll also found that generally people see Biden's presidency as a complete failure and look back on Trump's as a success. Biden, success 39, failure 61. Trump presidency, success 55, failure 44. So as time has passed and he has this comparison of are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, the answer is very clearly that Trump gets that.
Well, we saw that back in an ABC News Washington Post poll in February. Remember, 40% said that they were poor than they were 4 years ago?
65% of these people say the economy is extremely important to their vote.
Oh, boy.
And Trump, in that matchup against Biden, on the economy, Trump wins 62-30.
Wow.
On the importance of the economy.
That's why he's been going. That's why Biden's been going up, talking to those unions and talking about getting rid of the Trump tax cuts and doing the whole "it favors the rich" bit. You know.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
So, you look at that's the national landscape, right?
Yeah.
Which is certainly bleak for Biden. However, if you really drill down to the seven states that will decide the election, right? Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, Michigan. Okay? Trump is winning in every single battleground. Now, Arizona, Trump plus +4. Georgia, Trump plus +3. Wisconsin, plus +2. Pennsylvania, plus +2. North Carolina, plus +5. Nevada, plus +1. Michigan, plus +1.
Wow.
Okay? So that's a bloodbath. Then you look at some other stuff. So I was just in Nevada, in Vegas, and a couple of things I noticed. Trump support out there, and I also went into Arizona to the Grand Canyon. There's Trump stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
Didn't see a single Biden thing. Okay, and, you know, that's anecdotal. We talk about that every election. Yeah. Lawn signs, this and that. But, like, outward support is important for enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, enthusiasm, we all know enthusiasm for Biden is, like, you know, as dead as his brain activity.
Right. Then, you know, you play at a table long enough, you talk to the dealer, you make talk and everything. They always ask what you do. So I told them. And very interestingly, they say that, remember, Harry Reid had control of those unions.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking airport's named after him. Yeah. There, which is brutal.
The motherfucker was High Chancellor of Nevada.
Yeah. The political machine there was impressive.
Yeah.
And that's been eroding year after year after year.
Oh, yeah.
The blackjack dealers were telling me that a lot of union members and casino workers who traditionally have always been staunch Democrats are now considering or definitely voting for Trump.
Oh, wow.
And they say the one reason is because of the economy. Because anytime there's an economic downturn,
Those people
gets hit hard.
They get hard,
You know, they live on tips and spend and all that kind of stuff.
How many people sit at those tables playing cards?
Yeah, and so when people come to Vegas with less money and things are more expensive, there's less tips, that kills their bottom line. And so that's a very interesting phenomenon there, because Nevada's been the one that we've always tried for at least the last, 20 years or so since Bush, right?
Yeah.
To get back, right? And when it went Obama after going Bush twice.
Yeah. And those unions are key.
Yeah.
You win Las Vegas, you're going to win the state. And you know, it's also, you know, there's been a lot of discord within the Harry Reid machine, what's left of it.
Sure.
In terms of the old establishment, woke and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, listen, it's like those Eastern European dictators.
Yeah.
You know, once the person dies, the whole thing goes to shit. Yeah, once Harry Reid died, that whole machine.
Well, and I think this is a bigger sign of change in the union landscape.
Yeah. Well, the UAW president even admitted that he thinks a great number of his voters, of his membership, is going to vote for Trump.
Yep, so, up in Michigan.
Despite the top brass giving the endorsement to Biden. So,
I mean, look, last week Trump, you know, Trump's making the best of being stuck in New York at this trial. He's doing campaign stuff. He's visiting bodegas. He's going to construction sites, talking with union officials and union workers. Last week he went to a construction site. The union workers said, "I voted Democrat all my life. This time I'm voting for Trump."
Yeah.
And then he says, "What?" The reporter asks him, "What message do you have for Joe Biden?" "Fuck you," and then walks away. Or no, he goes, "Thanks for fucking nothing."
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you know, and it's the economy.
Yeah.
It really is just the economy. And the Biden campaign just keeps saying, "Oh, the economy is great." Well, regular Americans see it. Yeah. You know, don't believe your lying eyes.
This guy was
again.
Never meant to be president.
That's essentially what it comes down to.
I mean, and it's not just me. It's just my own partisan self. He ran twice. He lost twice. That's kind of a clue, you know, that you ain't it. I mean, the first time he plagiarized a speech and he lies like he always does. Uh-huh. Remember, like, basically he's like, "I have 9 degrees, you know, college and all that shit." Not the case. 2008, I'll put an asterisk there because that was Clinton and Obama kind of sucking all the oxygen out of the room. I get it, but just, you know, dude, just, you ain't it.
Yep.
And frankly, you weren't it in 2020 until everyone thought, everyone saw, everyone went down the line to Liz Warren, to Cory Booker, and everyone was like, okay, nah, it's only Joe Biden.
Well, you know, this is what happens when you steal a fucking election and someone who's not meant to be president ends up in the job, so... All right, we are going to wrap today's show up with, of course, the Biden gaffe of the day, and this is a good one. Happened last week. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you haven't. Roll that clip.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Guy can't even read a fucking teleprompter. Guy cannot read a teleprompter. And then guess what? They released the transcript later on. This is not the first time they've done this.
Oh, yeah.
And they just fucking doctor it.
Oh, yeah.
And take out the gaffes. Which if they had done that during Trump.
Oh, my God.
It would have been, you know, catastrophic assault on our democracy.
Aren't we veering into criminal charges with that? That's open record. That's going to be...
Well, theoretically.
That's supposed to be a preserved presidential document. You just can't doctor it to make it seem less embarrassing.
You know, Democrats never go to jail, so...
That's true.
Cocktail
napkins and dinner menus for Trump. Remember? Yeah. You can't have those. But we can totally doctor an official speech from the President of the United States to make them seem less embarrassing.
Well, this is the first
time. That's great, yeah. Two separate rules. There we go.
They've doctored speech transcripts... They've doctored phone call transcripts.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so that is what it is.
It's all fake. It's all fake. Mm-hmm. Everything in that presidential library is going to be totally fake. Yep. Might as well put goddamn Berenstain Bears in all the fucking shelves.
Yep. All right, we're going to wrap up today's show here. Of course, if you enjoy Triggered and want to get it uncensored, you know what to do. Become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. Get into this exclusive club of patriots. I know you want to be there. We'd love to have you. We could use your direct support to support not only what we're doing here on the show, but also all of the reporting we're doing across all of our network of sites. Someone has to hold these fucking insane people accountable. And unfortunately, it's only the conservative media at this point doing that. So we could really use your support. Townhallvip.com. Use the promo code TRIGGERED for 50% off. If you become a gold member, you get gold access to the entire network. And so we would love if you would support us. Of course, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, a story you think we should see, email us triggered@townhall.com. Thank you to all of you who are VIP members, and there are so many thousands of you. It means the world to us. Those who listen to the show regularly, we love you all. We do this for you. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. And we will be back here next Wednesday, May 8th, for another episode of Triggered.
See you then.